Peter Donegan, 2-2, testing. Say hello.
Hello.
Say, as it going?
As it going? Welcome to London.
I'm going to do it in an Irish accent.
Hello there, welcome to Ireland.
Jesus Christ. How are you?
Yeah, very good, thank you. How are you?
Good. Yeah. Right, we should do the intro jingle thing, yeah. Shouldn't we?
Hit the button.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Sideshow Garden Podcast.
Going to say it's another Friday afternoon. I haven't made that clerical error in a very long time. I'm sitting with a gentleman by the name of Ed Burnham. Hey Ed.
Hello.
He doesn't usually sound that friendly. Ed, for those who don't know you, what do you do for a living?
Well, I'm Ed Burnham. We run Burnham Landscaping. We are a construction company for the landscaping. We are a landscaping company that specialises in the construction of design-led...
Garden building?
Yeah, we build gardens.
Because we were speaking before we came on air and a conversation came up with a former guest. Do you remember that story?
Which one?
A gentleman who suggested that he was getting out of doing landscape design and specifying in only...
Oh, for Kenny's.
Yeah.
It's always reassuring to know that there are people out there who are specialising in what they're good at. And I guess what we're good at is... I've always found it difficult to put into words, but I guess what we're good at is we specialise in building gardens.
So that episode is Kenny White. Mm. And... I think you had suggested to me that Ken's was a little bit of a breath of fresh air.
Absolutely.
In that sense.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And it's we've never gone down the design and build route. And I think it would be easy to do. We've got such a wealth of designers that we work with, and especially new designers coming onto the scene that you could always team up with and you could always do something with. And it would be, it could be good. But I think for us, you know, and the size we are and where we are now and everything else, it's just good to focus on what you're good at. So we tend to stick to what we know and make sure we're as good at what we do than anything else.
Well, the gas thing with you and unknowns to a lot of people is you have built how many RHS, Royal Horticultural Society gardens?
We've built... we started in our first one in 2012. The company started in 2011. We built our first in 2012 at Hampton. And since then, we've done 13 in total.
I'm doing the simple maths on that. So 2019, in 6 years, you've done an average of 2 point something a year.
We've done, I think, twice at Hampton, we've done 3 in one show, which isn't easy. But we've been lucky enough to have some great friends in the industry who have collaborated with us, helped us on some of our builds, and has also opened the door and given opportunities to other people to do what we enjoy doing so much. So perhaps people that haven't done it before or have done it in some capacity and want to do more of it. So we've been quite open in sharing opportunities with other people, and in fact putting some people into other gardens that perhaps we can't take everything on, so we've put some the right people in for the right jobs and given other people opportunities to build gardens themselves, clear of us. So we're very lucky that the opportunities come through, and rather than say no to everything, we kind of help put people together and get people in the right place, if you like.
There's a couple of former guests of the Sideshow.
A couple.
Yeah, that you've built gardens for, but there's a couple of more high-profile ones that... you've done as well. The one at Chelsea. Tell me about that one.
So for Naomi, which I'm sure you can go back and listen to, but for Naomi Ferret-Cohen, that was our first opportunity to build a Chelsea garden, which we were really excited for last year, 2018. Everything was just really quite promising about it. I know Naomi had been sitting on it for maybe a year and a half or 2 years. So... things were in place, things were there, ready to go. We were the last piece of the puzzle, if you like. So it was really enjoyable to come in. Despite Naomi having been the first time building a show garden, it was a journey that was just, it was almost good fun from start to finish. And I think the build, it peaked at the build. It just, everything went to plan. The schedule was right. Everything was put in place. We put a lot of work in at the start, and it was just made so enjoyable to be there. And Naomi was great, you know. I think we all helped each other there, because despite having built X amount of gardens beforehand at Chelsea, it was still a first for us. So we made every effort to make sure everything was right. And I think, I wouldn't say hand-holding, but we all helped each other. And it was a huge team effort, which was made it so successful, really.
So I just want to play this little bit piece of audio, because it's Naomi's words rather than mine or Ed's. And I was slightly hesitant to mention his name, because I think in 2018 I found it quite hard to go through an episode of the Sideshow without his name coming up. But just take a listen to this and see what you think.
So I had a brilliant contractor, Ed, who's worked with lots of...
Who's Ed?
Ed Burnham.
Oh, Burnham.
Yes.
Yeah.
So he's brilliant, and he went round, and he's been working with them for years and stuff, and he was just so great as soon as he was on board. And I wouldn't have been able to do it without him, probably, so
I have to give Burnham, the Burnham boys, mention.
They're brilliant.
Well, you tell me they're brilliant. I know them on an entirely different level, as in we've never worked together. I'm giggling here, we're both smiling. What is it like to work with them? And I think the contractors can often be like the bass player in the band. They don't always get the high five.
I think that's really sad, actually, because they are the people who are really working hard, and we've worked as a team, and I think they should be given more credit for what they do. I do really wish that for them. But I think there's going to be more of them coming along. You know, this is their first show garden at Chelsea as well. They've done loads at Hampton, but I think we might be seeing a bit more of them.
It is unusual for them to pair a new-to-Chelsea designer with a new-to-Chelsea contractor.
Yes.
Do you take that?
Yes, I do. But do you know why that is?
Tell me.
Because it was Andrew Fisher-Tomlin that put us together.
Go on, complete the loop.
No, well, because he was my tutor at London College of Garden Design. And I went to him and I said, help. And he's like, I'll have a think about and see who might be able to do the show garden, you know, who might be able to help you. And then he came to me and said, look, I think you should work with Ed. And actually, it's been a brilliant partnership. So I think he got it really right. So
I've interviewed Andrew. You heard the first part of that interview. Yeah. And when you told me that, both of us hit the deck laughing.
Yes, I know. I love him to bits. He's great. And I just loved hearing his interview. It was like I was back at college again. He's the same person, you know. Andrew is brilliant. He really helps people in the industry. You know, there's not many people like him, actually. He'll help. Yeah, he really helps people to go forward. And actually, I don't know what I would have done without him, actually.
We'd known Andrew from various shows in the past. We were neighbours one year, and, you know, we got to meet Andrew there and got to know him quite well. So we've always been in contact, kept in touch. You know, advice is always is there whenever we need it, that kind of thing. So, and, of course, we hit it off straight away. So
it's a small enough industry. You start to realise the fishbowl isn't actually that big.
It's not, no, and there's lots of fish swimming in that small fishbowl. So, yeah, we're all swimming together, aren't we?
God, yeah. I'm reminded. Oh, no, it's the Pink Floyd song now. That's what I'm thinking of. Yeah. Where did it all start, one and two, on a where's Peter's head going next? It's like Henry Kelly and was it Where in the World he used to present that TV programme. But was your love or your grow or your passion, was that always into the building and the construction, or was it more of a photosynthetic nature? And then where did all of that start, going way back to when you were smaller?
Yeah, what, Little Ed. Yeah, we, I think, I started this in this industry working for a turf company, which still runs today. And we used to, they specialised in lawns, lawn treatments, lawn laying, anything to do with grass, basically. And that was their focus, which is where I kind of get this idea of specialising and sticking to what you know. So that was always inbuilt, if you like, from sort of 20 upwards. So I worked for them for a number of years, and in fact did that on the side of working at other jobs as well. So probably the richest I've ever been at that point, I think. But I had to work about 48 hours a day in order to make that money. But it was good, and I got a love for it then. I really, you know, my passion for being outside, working in that environment, and the construction side of the business started to take off. For some reason, we were doing more, you know, it started with patios and some fencing, and I was leading the way, and or certainly involved heavily in that. So it was great opportunities coming to me. I've never learnt from a classroom point of view, but I've learnt on the job, and just loved it and had such a passion for it that it's all come and stemmed from there. And I guess YouTube's a wonderful thing when you're at that point, because you can find out what you need to know quite easily, which, has led us to this point today, really.
Did you work in the garden centres? Did you do the college thing?
No garden centres, no colleges. No, literally the first job I had was for these guys at the turf company. And from there, if you're lucky enough to get it right and people will give you the opportunities, then you've got to take them with both hands. And mine came in the form of amazing clients that were willing to let out this company do stuff that perhaps we hadn't done before, or that was, you know, maybe not that technical. I'm not saying these were amazing gardens that we were building, but, you know, we were certainly getting the basic skills in there, patio laying, fencing, you know, all the things that you need to start off with and know the core of your business, really. So my passion for construction and for that side of it came from there. And it was just a case of learning from there.
I think there was a course, funnily enough, that Andrew was doing, and it was himself and Giles, I think, through London College Garden Design. Not to overmention the lads, but they tend to pop up on my radar a bit, and the things they're doing are a little bit, invariably they're a bit different, outside of what is their mainstay. But this course was on changes and trends and things that were coming by the way.
The courses you're talking about for London College, we've actually got lads booked on for upcoming ones, ones that they're doing for planting design for landscapers. Just going a little bit back to the kind of learning and the learning on the job kind of side of things, that can be done easily with the amount of absolutely amazing information that's out there from, and I know they've got things coming up with Giles as well that you mentioned, and just knowing these people and speaking to them is amazing, because you get to absorb everything they know. They're happy to share, and likewise we're willing to share everything we've learned along the way. So things that really excite us, that I think in anything is innovative that's coming in, and that seems to be constant with landscaping, new materials, new ways of, you know, systems to construct or whatever it might be. So there's always something that's brand new that just gets you excited. Do you want to use it? You want to be involved, or you want to have a go, or whatever it might be. And then the information to back that up and to install is all there for you to absorb.
Okay, well, I'll do quick fire round with you. Fencing wise, what's the end product at the minute? And when I say fencing, I mean backdrop for a garden. What in the 60s or 50s might have been built out of brick?
Yeah, so I think, brick walls are still there, but they're costly. So for us, the cedar batten fencing is all the rage in London still, and I don't see that going away for some time. So that, you know, that kind of slatted imagery that you see in a lot of gardens is a great backdrop for most situations.
Porcelain.
Porcelain, not my flavour. I'm more of a natural man in all instances, and as much as you can be, really. But porcelain is obviously has its massive plus side, but not my cup of tea.
Ready-made water features.
Again, they've got their place and they hit budget, don't they? So I think they can be used elsewhere, but we don't install many ready-made ones, really. We tend to build them a bit more bespoke.
When was the last time you were asked to build or construct a raised vegetable bed?
That is rare. I know they happen a lot, but we just don't get asked to do them in gardens. So people are just not, I don't know what it is, but you try and push a lot of things. I mean, I'll always push natural grass instead of fake. Or I should say artificial, but again, people are slowly coming around to this idea of growing again at home, but it seems to be quite hard to persuade clients. They don't want it ruining their perfect image, if you like.
What has been your favourite show garden to date that you've been a part of?
Show garden, I think the Chelsea one is for Naomi's been amazing for us, and I think it's the best time we've had building a show garden, if I'm honest. We've had a great time up to this point, and every garden's been great. But I think Naomi's was a real, it was a crowd pleaser. The everything about it was positive. You got your issues along the way, like you do with any build, but they were all easily solved, and it was just a pleasure from start to finish.
I'll ask you this very diplomatically, because I don't think after, in my real job, I think I'm year 17 or so. Is it 17? I'd have to do that anyhow. In business. And I think there are jobs that I will look back on and go, oh yeah, I remember that. And whether you're a comedian who's, you know, you say, have you ever had a bad gig or a bad heckler or whatever it might be, everybody's got one of them, and there's an equal high and an equal low, if that makes sense. I'm not asking you to name names or anything, but are there, let's say, designs that you've walked immediately away from, and without getting into the specifics, what was the reason for that?
With regard to show gardens, we have had a number that we've you know, not built for various reasons. It can be as much as we've got a lot on our plate, and we perhaps don't have the time to take that on. There have been some that sometimes you perhaps don't get the right feeling, or you can envisage, I don't want to say problems that you can't solve, because I believe that anything's possible to solve, but I just think that there are definitely some you perhaps don't get a strong feeling about, and you don't want to build just for the sake of building them. It's certainly not about medal chasing. I've never, you know, I perhaps did the first couple of times, but after that, you just don't. It's not about that. It's more about it's more about the journey and actually what you're building and who you're building it with. So I think that takes pride of place.
If you were reading Wuthering Heights, you know the story? Which one are you?
Absolutely follow the heart. For me, this is, we're doing a job that we have a passion for, not just me, but the rest of the team. And when you've got a passion for something, I think that you don't just do it for the paycheck, although we're all in it for the money, but there has to be some level of, what am I trying to say? I think you just need to, you've got to enjoy what you're doing, haven't you? So
the conversation that I've had multiple times when it comes to thinking with the heart is, yes, invariably I do. However, there are times when I say this to other people and they go, yeah, but this time, that time and that time, I had to walk home and say, honey, yeah, you know the way your mom was supposed to come over for dinner? Yeah, well, I saw this lovely tree, thought it would look lovely in their garden. I said to them, don't worry about the money, I'll take care of it. So it's all right if she just has toast instead. And she's going, living the dream. You're living your dream. I'm not living a freaking nightmare. I jest in saying that, but there does come a point where sometimes cutting grass on a ride-on lawnmower from 8 o'clock in the morning till 6 o'clock in the evening, 5 days a week on a motorway, might pay you better than building show gardens. If you join all the dots together, and it's less hassle. But I couldn't do the cutting the grass thing because I wouldn't be able to sit still for that long. Or is there a balancing act required between the heart and the paycheck, and remaining sane, remaining in the Heathcliff sort of a moment, if I might stick with that, but at the same token, keeping a roof over your head?
Yeah, absolutely. I think you have to, and that falls on the, I mean, it falls largely on me as to, you know, because it's not just me, there's a team of guys behind, and we all have a passion for what we're doing. We all want to build great gardens, but I have to get that balance right in my, you know, how we price things, how we tackle the job, but all the management side of things. You know, we're still small enough that it's me doing pretty much most things, but that falls on me to have that daily battle with me and how that's going to play out over every project. But we again, I think very fortunate, and I, you know, count my blessings that where we are, and you know, having that sort of London market, if you like, and the amount of opportunities that do come in, you are able to almost pick and choose, which is, I realise how fortunate that is. Especially we've worked through recession and things like that. So we know how lucky we are at present, and to be able to pick and choose and take on the jobs that we do perhaps feel a little bit more, you know, more of a passion for, we can do those and make sure that we get, you know, financial reward that also comes with that. Doesn't mean it always happens like that, because obviously there's winners and losers sometimes. But overall, I think, as I say, the amount of opportunities that come in, we're just fortunate to be able to say, yeah, that one's great, that would look at the design, what do you think of this, lads, this is the one, you know. Especially when it comes to show gardens now, we've done the if you like hard slog of the freebies and cheapies, and the budget's a little bit squeezed and that kind of thing. So we've definitely done those, and I feel like we can safely turn some of those down now. I say some.
Well, you say some. I didn't want to get into this because for those of you listening at home, you obviously know that I have a real job, logically designing gardens, and talk to me about the elephant in the room that I didn't want to talk about. And the reason why I didn't want to talk about this is because I wanted in 2 years time that this was still the Ed interview and not the Peter Donegan Memorial Show. But I'm also aware, because I discussed this briefly before we came on air, and the answer seems to be that I rarely talk about myself. I talk gibberish and random things that are in my head of questions.
Oh, well, we've myself and Donegan Gardens are going to be building at RHS Cardiff, which is, for us is another new challenge and another new thing to do. So I guess we started off with, come here, can you do this?
That's my
Irish accent.
That's terrible.
I didn't say it was going to be good. But you can do your London accent if you want. I mean,
get on my pub. So, well, it's your interview. So who's involved in the garden?
I think that's what's been so overwhelming, quite blown everybody away with this, is that we've had so much support from everyone just getting involved from the start. It started off, I think, with me and you saying, let's do this. And it's become, I don't know, it's become a phenomenal team effort from Giles, from CED, who have been so forthcoming in helping us out with materials and advice and design side. It's obviously for Perennial for their 180th year, which is again a phenomenal thing to be involved in, and if we can help raise anything towards that, that'd be a job done in my eyes.
If you want to go and find out more about that garden, just search for Perennial Cardiff Garden. Myself and Ed will be there, and we'll talk to you about that, but I want to try and keep this on track, and I'll try and separate that off, and we'll get into that at a separate interview maybe. Is that okay?
Of course.
Yeah, okay. Let's go then to the next garden that you're going to be doing in 2019. Are you allowed to mention that one yet?
I don't think so yet. I think it might be a matter of weeks, but we've got we have some other plans.
I could say there's another show garden.
There is another. There's another couple.
I thought I was the only one. I'm not going this direction. What's downtime, or do you just go look at more gardens?
Yeah, looking at more gardens a lot of the time. Yeah, members of RHS. We've got Wisley down the road. We tend to take the kids there. But getting out on the bike, being in the landscape, not just in people's gardens, is another bit for me.
I was at RHS Tatton, the flower show. Isabel Coulter, former guest, is the head don there now. She was a deputy show manager, I believe, at the time I interviewed her. I think it was 17. Tim Hell is out there, he'll correct me on that. But they had a thing called Bus Stop Boulevard, a bus stop that you just come up with a small design for, a quick sketch, and you did your thing. I went into the floral pavilion and I met Rob Hardy and Cookie Boy and a few of the stalwarts, legends, gentlemen and ladies of the industry. But my point in all of this before I deviated off, Ed, was do you go to the other shows and get entirely distracted from what you actually should be looking at?
I mean, when you go to the shows, it's easy to get wander and just try and take in everything you can. And quite often, I walk away from most shows and go, I didn't even see that, or I didn't even go over there, or, you know, they're always vast and there's always lots to see, and it's very easy to get, not focused, it's just get lost, I guess, get immersed in what happens, because it's not just show gardens for me, there's lots of other things that happen, which makes all the shows so great.
I was going to ask you something else and now I've changed my mind. Sorry, that's genuine, I really got distracted. You started at...
2011.
You were right at the bottom of the recession when you started.
Yeah, we were, which seemed almost a bit crazy to me, because whenever you start a business, there's the pressures that go with that, the unknowns, the, well, is it going to be right, or what's going to happen? Am I going to get business? Who's going to hire me? You know, all those questions that probably outweigh the positive sides at that point. So to do that was, I guess, a real, for me and our family and situation at the time, was a real leap of faith, because it was a complete unknown, really, what was going to happen. Do you know what, I think for me, and I, not to keep banging on about show gardens, but for me, it changed everything doing the first one in 2012, because I had a good friend of mine, Dan Shea, designer in the sort of North London area. We were friends before... our wives went to school together, so we've been friends for a long time, and to get the opportunity to build a show garden was for him a chance to launch his career, and for me a chance to get in there and have a crack at the action that's, you know, we'd probably looked at for many years from the outside. So all of a sudden we're thrust into, I don't want to say stardom, because it's never like that in any show, but the limelight being on you and everyone looking at your work and people starting to know perhaps who you are was really turned the business from trying to make some money in recession to, oh, these guys build show gardens, they must be able to do XYZ. And interestingly, from the back of that, we had two clients. The only time I've ever had clients come direct from a show, because the rest of the time you're relying on for us designers to get you that work. But we had two direct clients that Dan then went and designed, and one won us an SGD award for Dan Shea for being future designer. So I guess a lucky run. I don't know. We had the first year in business was amazing, and they've all been pretty good. I can't complain.
I meant to say at the start of this episode. Now we're at the very end of it. But I know this isn't the Peter Donegan Memorial thing. I actually wanted to dedicate this one to Will Williams for no apparent reason other than we were talking about you earlier on, Will, and I hope you're doing good, and I'll talk to you later. There was an incident where we met in France.
It was.
Where were you going to before we met?
I was on my way to Disney and you happened to be off the motorway building a garden in Chateau de Perronne.
So you stopped by?
We certainly did, yeah. It seems like a good spot for lunch, right?
It was a good spot for lunch, but I was in... No, I didn't have a day off. I had a meeting... But it was a Sunday, if I remember correctly.
That's right, yeah.
Yeah, I was literally doing 7 days a week. Yeah. And I think that was the first morning in 2.5 weeks I'd had off. Anyway, I was delighted to see you. And then when I was going out the door, you said, oh, come here, I have to give you this.
Yeah. You said I think you tweeted that there wasn't any Guinness in France.
No, there wasn't.
Well, there certainly wasn't in where you were. But I bought you some Guinness, right?
So if you follow the Sideshow on Instagram or any of them, I'll make that the header photograph for it, is what I'll do. I think I still have it, and it's me and Ed sitting outside the castle in Perronne. I think it was just, I'll just clarify that. Perronne, I think the Irish Times did an article on that garden, and I think I said the only difference between Perronne and Ballybohol, which is my hometown, was a good pint of Guinness, because Perronne actually didn't serve any Guinness.
Yeah,
at all. I was just surprised that you were going to Disney and you went, "Funny, I got to make a bit of a detour. The kids will be grand. They don't mind looking at a 13th century castle in another garden."
Yeah, exactly. Yes, yeah. To drop off some Guinness.
Yeah. I'm very grateful, Ed.
Oh, pleasure.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, we're to the end of the show now.
Well, thank you very much. Thanks for the time.
Well, thank you. I'm in London, as by the way. Nice kitchen table.
Thank you very much. Hand built. Another hobby of mine.
Yeah. It's a show off. Yeah. At Sideshow on Twitter, facebook.com/sideshow.com. Ed Burnham, always an honour.
Thank you very much.